Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you. John Couch, my engineer, producer, my friend on the other side of the glass. And together, we welcome you to the midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. It's June 17th, 2020, as we bring people together, our Southern Arizonans together, here on the radio in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. We're on 1030 Tucson's Voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, and of course kvoi.com. Quick update on the Bighorn Fire, 40% contained. The good news, Summer Haven, the mountaintop community on Mount Lemmon, apparently has been spared, which is really, really good news. But areas of concern today, Saddlebrook and East Golder Ranch, of course, winds expected to kick up to 40 miles an hour. That will not help the firefighting effort. The Buckmaster Show contributor on health is Dr. Victoria Mazes. Dr. Mazes is the Andrew Weil Endowed Chair in Integrative Medicine. She's the Executive Director of the Weil Center for Medicine and a Professor of Medicine, Family Medicine, and Public Health. Dr. Mazes is internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine. She is committed to health promotion and pioneering change efforts that solve America's healthcare system problems. She's the editor of the Oxford University textbook, Women's Integrative Health, and author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. You can learn more about her on her website, victoriamazes.com, or follow her on Twitter at VMazes. Now, the Andrew Weil Endowed Chair in Integrative Medicine, Dr. Victoria Mazes. How are you, Dr. Mazes?
I am doing well, thank you. How are you, Bill?
Doing real well. I see there's some considerations that the CDC has released that folks should keep in mind as communities across the country are now beginning to plan and hold events and gatherings. What are some of the guiding principles, Dr. Mazes, that we should keep in mind as this happens?
Well, the CDC put out guidelines on June 12th, and I think these are incredibly helpful guidelines for us all to be paying attention to. There's a lot of detail on their website, and it will depend a little bit on your particular circumstances for what it is you're planning to do. And these guidelines range from whether you're going shopping or whether you're trying to be social to whether you're actually trying to have an event like a wedding or a concert or something else. And I think the thing to take away that we all have to understand is that our risk of catching COVID-19 is related to the dose, how much we're exposed. So if someone sneezed or coughed directly in our face, that would be, who had the virus, that would be a big exposure. And the amount of time we're exposed. So if we're sitting in an office next to someone else who's completely asymptomatic, they're not coughing, they're not sneezing, but for 8 hours we're next to them breathing, sharing the same airspace, then that is a long time of exposure. So either a higher dose or a longer amount of time increases your risk of being exposed. And therefore, that sets a lot of guidelines. If you're going to be at a gathering, how many people are you going to interact with? Are these people who you've been living in the same house with, so essentially been interacting with anyway, your family, or maybe you're sharing a household with roommates, or are they brand new to you? Are you able to keep 6 feet away from people? Because the closer you are to others, the greater your risk of being infected. And is the event inside or outside? Outside is much safer. There's more ventilation. There's more diffusion of the virus and much less risk of catching it than if you were together in an indoor space.
I'm a little concerned. My dear niece is going ahead with her wedding. It will be up at Lake Tahoe, outside, I am told, Labor Day weekend. So I've still got a little time, but the good news is I'm happy to hear it will be outdoors and there will be approximately 50 people at the gathering. But I'm a little concerned, I have to be honest with you and our listeners.
Yes, so you raised some important points. Outside, as I just said, is absolutely safer. Wearing a mask is safer. So if you decide to attend the wedding, wearing a cloth mask the whole time would be in your best interest. Even though these are going to be loved ones,
right,
you don't want to hug them. You
right.
want to keep that 6 feet. You don't actually want to shake hands. You don't want to elbow bump. You can wave. You can use your words to tell them how much you love them. But this is a time where you really don't want to be in physical contact because of the increased risk.
Let's go over the from lowest risk to highest risk at events and gatherings. Could you kind of hit on those points, please?
Yes. So, think about a sporting event, which as far as I know have not really been opened yet, but you're sitting right next to someone and then there are thousands of people sitting around you and people get excited and they yell and they shout and they cheer for their team. And that kind of forceful speech actually exhales and puts into the air more of the viral particles. If you were in that kind of situation where you were then in a closed space, then the ventilation essentially would keep that viral particle closer to you and a greater risk to you contracting the virus. If it was outdoors, it would be better. In Arizona, where things are opening up, maybe one of the riskier things to do is to go to a bar. Not everyone is wearing masks indoors, even though that's a CDC recommendation. It's not required in Arizona. I think personally, as a physician, I would like to see it be required because I believe it would keep us safer. But you're in that bar and you're then drinking some alcohol, which reduces inhibitions. You're dancing, which makes you breathe harder. You might be having physical contact with others as you dance together. That's going to be a very high-risk behavior. So contrast that, for example, with waking up early because it's really hot and taking a walk in Sabino Canyon, maybe each of you using each side of the roadway so you're 6 to 10 feet apart then, and you're wearing masks, you're having a conversation. So you're having social connection, but you're doing it in a safe way outdoors at a distance.
Would you clarify something about masks? There's so much controversy about that. If both people are wearing masks, it significantly would reduce your chance of picking up a viral load, and granted you're 6 feet apart. Is that correct?
That is correct. And these are studies that have been done, not with coronavirus, so we're still learning. But there was a meta-analysis, which is a review of multiple studies that was published in The Lancet, which is a very highly respected journal. It was published on June 1st. And they looked at 172 studies that were conducted in 16 countries and found that if you indeed kept distance, this is all over the world, so 1 meter, which is 3 feet or more, then you reduce the risk of getting a viral infection from almost 13% to 2.6%.
Wow.
So that's a very significant reduction in risk by keeping that distance. Wearing a mask, and this is, again, a study that was using N95, so those are the best masks,
mm-hmm.
but that reduced the risk of transmission from 17% to 3%.
Yeah.
So these are really, really effective interventions, and much more so if indeed both parties or everybody is wearing one.
Yeah, there was that highly publicized case of at a salon in Missouri. Everyone was wearing masks in the salon. Someone was was positive out of 140 people. No one else, to my knowledge, then did test positive. So that that's pretty encouraging to wear a mask, I would think.
Yes, and I think also the message of the mask is a message of we care about one another. As human beings, we care about one another. I'm wearing a mask so that if I happen to be sick and don't know it, because anyone who's sick should be staying home, but I'm wearing a mask to protect loved ones, to protect colleagues, to protect other people who I could possibly be exposing. And your mask may protect somebody who you're exposing. So rather than thinking about, well, I'm young, I'm healthy, I'm not going to get this, or if I get it, I'm going to do fine, it's much better to say, I'm wearing a mask to protect others that I love. And to just, we all need to get used to this odd thing about wearing a mask in public, but we all should be getting used to it.
Roberta, I know you've been on hold, but I'm going to just kind of abbreviate your question for Dr. Mazes, because I'm very tight here as I go into the break. And Roberta was wondering how close we are to an antidote or some kind of vaccine for the COVID.
It's a wonderful question, and I would say we don't yet know. The good news is there are lots of vaccines in development, and the bad news is we'll take a while until we know how effective they are. That's just going to take time to answer, and until we have those answers, we can't do large population vaccination campaigns. We have to start slowly. We have to be sure that it's safe to vaccinate people, and then we have to be sure it's effective to vaccinate people.
All right. We'll continue with Dr. Victoria Mazes and the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio after we take a break. We'll be right back with Dr. Mazes. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com. The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026, and the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things is doing, they've got everything you need for the garden, and so many people are doing gardening these days. It's been a hobby that some are rediscovering. Others are deciding, hey, I'm going to make the backyard look great. I'm home a little bit more and make things look really pretty. Out back, 3384 East River Road, Green Things, 50 years and still growing. And their website, greenthingsaz.com. And of course, they have Zocalo Village, all that great Talavera pottery, antiques, fine art, and beautiful handmade furniture. Their website is ZocaloVillage.com. So there's a lot going on, and there's plenty of room for social distancing at Green Things on their 13 acres. Let's continue now our discussion with Dr. Victoria Mazes, the Andrew Weil Endowed Chair in Integrative Medicine. She's the Executive Director of the Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. Had a very informative first segment with speaking with Dr. Mazes about some really recent guidelines that have come out about coronavirus disease, the COVID-19. These came out really just a few days ago. I would recommend, Dr. Mazes, everybody kind of take a look at these guidelines. How can folks take a look at them?
Well, the CDC website, if you Google the CDC website and coronavirus, they will come up, and there's extensive guidelines, again, depending on what it is you're thinking about and how to make it safest. So earlier we were talking about how to make a gathering as safe as possible and smaller numbers of people, physical distancing. But for example, the CDC covers things like cleaning and disinfecting. It covers testing. Someone asked about vaccines. It will cover that when that's available. It covers the question of antibody testing. So it's an extensive resource, and the website is www.cdc.gov, and then you can just search and find really wonderful public health guidelines for our nation.
Are these antibody tests getting becoming more accurate? There's been so much confusion, Dr. Mazes, about who should take one, what are they? Could you just briefly discuss that?
Yeah, they are becoming more accurate, which is good, because at the beginning there was a very high false positive rate and a somewhat high false negative rate. And because it's not all that common for someone to have this, I mean, if you live in New York City, maybe 20% of the population has had the virus. But if we think about across our nation, it might be more like 2 or 3%. That means that if you get a positive and it's not a super accurate test, you could have a false positive. So you think, oh, it's already behind me. I was lucky. I was asymptomatic. And the reality is that that was a false test. So we have to be careful. I'm very proud of the work that's being done at the University of Arizona, which has developed a practice and also a process to eventually test everybody on the staff, the students who will be coming back, the faculty. And they have a very accurate test because it tests something called a neutralizing antibody, which increases the accuracy. I had the antibody test done, and sadly, but not surprisingly, I was negative. I didn't think I had coronavirus yet, sure enough, when I tested, I had not shown any antibodies. Now, the person who's running this whole lab, Dr. Nikolic, found that only 1 to 2% of people who are being tested, and they're starting with healthcare providers who are really at a higher risk, of course, are testing positive. So we really, as cases are increasing in Arizona, and we know from the news that that's happening, we still have a relatively small percentage of the overall population who have already developed antibodies, which means they've mounted an immune response. They're on the other side of the infection.
The COVID response tracking study that was done by some it was conducted through the University of Chicago, has it's an interesting poll, and I'm not surprised that Americans are saying they're the unhappiest they've been in 50 years. After all, 2020, Dr. Mays's, is the year that just keeps on giving, and it seems like, at least here in Tucson, with all the fires and the Catalina, it's been a very, very rough year.
Absolutely. It has been an incredibly hard year. We are stuck at home. Even as the stay-at-home rule was lifted a month ago, people who are being careful are mostly at home. They've greatly reduced their social interactions. They're feeling lonely. A lot of people have lost jobs. They're struggling with their finances. This has been an incredibly difficult year, and I think we have to have a lot of compassion for people who are feeling lonely, and we've got to reach out and try and be helpful.
And what are you doing to try to stay positive?
Well, I'm a very fortunate person. I still have a job.
Right.
I am on faculty at the University of Arizona, so I still have a job, but I'm doing the things that I recommend to others. So I am exercising regularly. I'm taking a walk every day. Obviously, the times to do that are growing shorter.
Yes.
But early in the morning or late in the evening or when I choose to go, I'm doing yoga online. There's actually now some outdoor yoga with social distancing where you can do it at dusk, or there are rooftop yoga classes where they're really being very careful to keep distance. There's a new phrase that I really like. It's called social closening, the opposite of social distancing.
Huh.
There's social closening. How can we do that? Well, we can call people we love. And I have had more conversations with friends and relatives in this last 3 month period than I've had maybe in the whole prior year, because I'm really trying to engage in that way. And I'm talking more to my neighbors. I've gotten postcards in the mail. I'm writing people letters. I'm sending humorous cartoons or videos. Again, I'm consciously trying to reach out and connect with people who I think could just use a little bit of connection. And then the other things are what gives you pleasure? You mentioned gardening. This is a great time to spend a little time in your own backyard. It's outdoors. It creates beauty. You're in nature. If you can volunteer, even if it's volunteering by phone, I think that's another way you can have that helper's high that volunteers get. So what is it that gives you pleasure, and how can you bring pleasure to another person?
You know, I was just looking at this story on happiness, and one professor, psychology professor at UC Riverside, is quoted as saying, reimagining happiness is almost hardwired into the human being's DNA. And I wonder if that kind of goes back to our earliest days when we were living in caves and, we kind of lived hour to hour. But human beings, Dr. Mays, as you well know, are remarkably resilient.
We are. We are. And you know, you're describing the use of the imagination. And there are wonderful studies that looked at guided imagery, for example, and athletes. And if you are an athlete who practices their free throw in their imagination, it turns out that it is almost as valuable as standing and doing that free throw again and again and again. We can use our imagination to take us to happy times, whether it was a vacation on the beach, whether it was the birth of a grandchild, whether it was a graduation, whatever it might be that brings a smile to your face, you can elicit that in your memory, and by doing so, you will improve your mood.
And one thing we didn't mention, you know how I love to talk about breathing exercises.
Mm-hmm.
The deep breaths, yes.
Well, one of the things that happens when you feel lonely is it is a form of chronic stress. And stress, as we've spoken about on many occasions, increases our risk of all sorts of nasty things like depression, anxiety, heart disease, substance abuse. And so what we want to do is the opposite. We want to elicit the relaxation response. And one wonderful way to do that is with a deep abdominal breath. So always have access to our breath. Put your hand on your belly. Take a deep breath in. Notice your belly rise. Let it fall with the exhalation. And if you want your breath to get even deeper, push some extra air out when you exhale. And then you're almost forced to take a deeper breath in the next cycle.
I just did it. Felt very good. And remember, try to not breathe as much through the mouth. Make it nasal, correct?
That's absolutely right.
All right.
Nasal breathing.
Dr. Mays, is always a pleasure. Stay safe, my friend. Thanks.
You too, Bill, and the pleasure is mine.
Thank you. Victoria Mays is MD.com is Victoria's website. You can also follow her on Twitter at VMazes. We always love talking every month with Dr. Mazes. All right, we're at the midway point of the Buckmaster Show in our midweek edition in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Our water quarterly report from CAP is next.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Once a quarter here on the program, we are delighted to focus on what I think is Arizona's most important resource. Boy, you gotta have it. Water. Our Arizona Water Quarterly is presented by our friends at the Central Arizona Project, Your Water, Your Future. Joining us now in studio, Karen Caesar, member of the Central Arizona Water Conservation District Board. Karen, it's good to see you again.
Oh, it's very good to be here, Bill. Thank you.
It has been a crazy, I kind of look back to when everything seemed to really go south, like around St. Patrick's Day. Then things just seem to, you know, hit the fan. It's been unprecedented. How has COVID-19 affected CAP?
Well, and in fact, my last visit was really before all of that.
Right, so it was before.
Just to put today's visit in context, and it's certainly been, you know, an amazing and challenging time. But I have to say, through it all, I have been so proud of the water heroes at CAP who've kept the water flowing without interruption. CAP, after all, is essential infrastructure. And so we have continued to operate with two guiding principles. The first being keep the water flowing. That is important to all of Arizona, all of our customers, our stakeholders. They need to know the water they need will be there for them. And in order to do that, we want to keep our employees safe so they can keep the water flowing.
So were there some big changes in doing business over the last couple of months?
Well, you know, CAP, while they had business continuity plans in place, I don't think any business organization or government entity was prepared for what hit us so quickly. Even though we didn't have a formal telecommuting policy, we were able to plan and execute a work from home regime over a very short period of time, over a 3-day period, mid-March, right around St. Patrick's Day. And that applied to all of our administrative, technical, and professional employees. Now, we are infrastructure, so we do have maintenance and operations personnel that need to be on CAP work sites. And so we've done some things to take precautions, so they can keep the water flowing, like maintaining maintenance crews working on split shifts. We have about half of the team working on some days and the other half of the team working other days. We've also segregated some of the operations crews into day teams and night teams that are working from different locations. So again, workspaces can remain as safe as possible and we can keep up the social distancing.
How about you and your colleagues and the board?
Well, we too, since April, we met in person in March, but since April, we have conducted all of our business virtually, and I have to say it has gone really well, with one minor exception of one meeting that coincided with the worldwide outage of WebEx,
web goes down, look out, everybody's in trouble these days.
right. And that was early on, and we pivoted back to a teleconference meeting very quickly. So, but like everybody, we have all gotten a lot more comfortable with this technology that keeps us working productively and remotely. And all of our meetings, all of our public meetings are still held consistent with open meeting law. The public can still tune in and watch through our website, and we've still been able to maintain strong stakeholder engagement, pretty similar as if the meetings were being held in person.
How about putting things on hold? Have you had to do any of that?
No, not really. It's just been, you know, it's been business as usual or just a different way of doing business. In fact, one of the efforts that was started just prior to the COVID-19 period was our strategic plan. And we are in the midst of that and on track with that effort as well, even working remotely.
How is that going to work? What are some of the tenets of this strategic plan?
Well, this is an update that hasn't been done in a, or this is isn't an update. This is a fresh look at a strategic plan. And any organization should take a pause and look at its operations every so often to make sure you're being relevant and current. And it's going to guide the important work we do, and it'll include our vision, our mission, and value statement.
And you guys got together again virtually talking about all this?
Yes, we did. The board, you know, is like I said, we began the process by gathering employee input on this as well as input from our stakeholders. So we are not, the board is not doing this in a vacuum. We reached out even, like I said, prior to COVID, but even with COVID, got a lot of input. And then the first week of June, we held a virtual retreat to update our vision statement and review the data gathered from all the various stakeholder and employee forums. We've got a second round of stakeholder forums planned, and they'll be in late July virtually. And in some ways, particularly because we serve the three counties in Maricopa, Pima, and Pinal, these virtual forums are allowing more opportunities for stakeholders to participate, especially Pima County. They don't have to, now they can participate directly like everybody else without having to drive up to Phoenix. So I think
we're getting
some more input. It's a whole lot easier to tune in for an hour or two
and then to drive a couple of hours on the freeway.
Take up your whole day. Yeah. So we are, you know, we're doing that. And then the board will have another retreat, maybe even in person in September. At this point, the board will meet virtually through the month of August, and our plans are to return to meeting in person in September, should everything, mm-hmm. Permit that.
Well, and as Dr. Mazes was talking about, we're learning more about how to do the social distancing and how to get together safely. So I would think, and I would hope maybe by September, you'll be able to put it all together in person.
That would be, I think the board would appreciate that, but shout out to, first of all, the CAP staff and my board colleagues who have really been putting forth a lot of effort, and everybody showing up with the best attitude to make our meetings work and to make sure that they are as quality as if we were sitting in the same room together.
And business does go on, and it's very important for the Central Arizona Project. There's something called System Use Agreement, I think you've been working on. What is that all about, Karen?
Well, the System Use Agreement is in the water world, it's something we water nerds get pretty excited about. I know it's there are other things to be excited about, but we get excited about System Use Agreement. And what this does is it's going to allow wheeling, or basically transporting non-CAP project water through our aqueduct, through the canal, which allows water to be moved between other parties and just using our canal as a vehicle. So
the term like wheeling, I think of like a wheelbarrow or something.
Yeah, or a water wheel. We're moving the water. But it's not necessarily our Colorado River water supply that is being moved.
So am I hearing you right? So CAP may one day be wheeling water other than Colorado River water through the canal.
Exactly. Right now, since the beginning of CAP water deliveries, the only water that's come through the canal is our Colorado River water supply. But we're one step closer to allowing other water sources. And one of the big keys to this is that we needed to have an agreement that we were required to develop a set of water quality standards. Think about it. We just can't let anybody put water that we don't know what's in it in our water, thus possibly contaminating or reducing the quality of our water.
Co-mingling with the stuff you know.
Right, because once the water goes in the canal, it all blends together.
Very careful about that.
Right. So recently, CAP and the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation released draft documents that outlines the water quality guidance. And that was done with lots of public outreach and lots of input from our stakeholders. And this has been a fairly substantial technical effort, and we're almost to the finish line of this. Once that is all accepted, then we have the real framework to promote and use the wheeling option that we have in the system use agreement.
You had a big anniversary, didn't you, recently?
Well, yeah, just to, you know,
35 years.
Something to celebrate. It's hard to believe, but yes, last month marked 35 years from the first CAP water delivery, which was made to the Harquahala Valley Irrigation District on May 22nd, 1985.
Wow.
It took 12 years, Bill, to build the canal from the Colorado River out just outside of Lake Havasu to western Maricopa County. And, of course, you know, we want to recognize and thank the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation. They physically built the system on behalf of Arizona, as well as a group called the Central Arizona Project Association. That group had been advocating for the CAP since 1946.
No kidding.
Wow. So, again, the history and vision of the people in this state, you know, a half a century or more than almost a century ago, that decided that we needed to have a renewable water supply is to be celebrated.
And agriculture got the first water.
Yes, it sure did. That first water was used for cotton, lettuce, pistachios, and melon crops, mostly on farms about 60 miles west of Phoenix.
And quickly, there was one other thing, too. I think, speaking of anniversaries, wasn't there something about a 40th anniversary?
Right. Well, when CAP came, you know, to be in Arizona, it let a lot of water users get off of groundwater, which is what we wanted to do. We wanted to have a renewable water supply. But because Arizona also relies a lot on groundwater, I want to mention that we just marked another milestone a few days ago on June 12th. It was the 40th anniversary of the Groundwater Management Act. And that has really allowed Arizona to grow smarter by requiring developers to demonstrate an assured water supply lasting 100 years. And it just helps ensure we're preserving our precious groundwater for the future.
All right. Karen Caesar, member of the Central Arizona Water Conservation District Board. You can learn more about CAP, CAP-AZ.com. Karen, always a pleasure to see you. And where can people follow the meetings?
Well, CAP-AZ.com is our mm-hmm. website, and there's a wealth of information, including our meetings on there. And I also just want to give a big shout out to our firefighters. Here we go. Ty, I can't talk about water without acknowledging, you know, the significant role it's playing in our firefighting efforts, and just, you know, keep, you know, hope everyone stays safe, and I hope we bring this into 100% containment very soon.
Bighorn firefighters, thank you. You saved the northern part of the foothills, including Pima Canyon, and now the word is you've saved Summer Haven. So
that's great news.
These people are doing a phenomenal job.
Absolutely.
Karen, great to see you. Thanks.
Good to see you, Bill. Thank
Buckmaster
you.
Buckmaster Show continues right after this in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Hello, I'm Danette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA Board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just a three-hour drive from Tucson, where it will be cooler. I guarantee it. It will be somewhere in the ballpark of 10 degrees cooler over in Silver City. Reason enough to, look at that, 85 degrees at midday in Silver City. That is cooler than what we're going through. So check it out, southwestnewmexico.org, the complete list of places to stay, some great places, and all sorts of ideas on how to recreate. Waiting on the live line, ASU economics professor Dr. Dennis Hoffman, director of the L. William Seidman Research Institute at the W.P. Carey School of Business up at ASU. Professor Hoffman, how are you? Good to reconnect with you, sir.
Bill, I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. At that recent lunch and up in the valley, you predicted that the recession here in Arizona would be about 3 to 9 months and there'd be a swift recovery in early 2021. That's pretty optimistic, isn't it?
It is. It needs some context, of course. Mm-hmm. I think many parts of the Arizona economy are actually recovering quite a healthy pace. I think there's going to be other segments of the economy. It's going to take several years to recover. So it's a little difficult to talk about the Arizona economy when it comes to recovery, because some aspects will be slower than others.
And job losses compared to some other areas of the country have not been as steep, have they?
That's correct. I think it's easily traced to the fact that, some states shut down everything. Entire manufacturing facilities were shuttered, and we did not shut down quite in the same way or the same degree that some of the other states did.
You know, the airline industry was so worried back in March and April that this was just a total disaster that would, and it was a disaster at the time, but they were saying it would take years to recover. I think folks have been very surprised in that industry, Dr. Hoffman. The recovery, American and all the major carriers are adding 50% of their schedule back in July, 60% in August. People are traveling again.
People are. I think it depends. I think, folks in my age group, we're not planning. We had many trips planned this year. We put them all on the shelf. I think it does depend upon your perceived degree of risk as to whether or not you want to get on an airplane anytime soon. I think there's some concern over, being in a confined space with recirculating air and how healthy that is. And if you look at the kind of the spikes in the Sun Belt here recently, it is quite coincident with air conditioning being, ratcheting up for the year. So we'll have to see how this plays out.
I think there are a couple of trends I want your opinion on. Employees working at home, how is that going to reduce the demand? And will it reduce, I would think it would, the demand for office space? And then downtown areas like Phoenix, are they going to lose their luster? Two-part question, like to hear your response.
I think the working from home aspect, and I think I was quoted here the other day about, picture a young, innovative, talented graduate of the U of A or ASU's engineering school how about they work for a Silicon Valley firm but live in Phoenix or Tucson or somewhere in Arizona here? I think working remotely is going to be more popular. I'm kind of getting snippets of this everywhere, and I think it's not just workers that are getting more comfortable being productive in home working environments. I think you're also hearing from managers that they're able to manage virtual teams as well. And once you open that door, it really changes the labor market. It really changes it dramatically. As to, living in downtown Phoenix or living in city centers generally, that may change. But I actually, Bill, I don't think you can start with a Phoenix or a Tucson. I think where we start is San Francisco, New York, Chicago, L.A., and are they going to be the millennial magnets that let's say that they have been? Young, innovative, talented people have tended to want to migrate to these inner cities to enjoy the amenities of these inner cities. What if that loses its luster a little bit, in part because of COVID, and they seek see places where, quality of life, like in Arizona, throughout Arizona, enjoy a quality of life in our wide open spaces, maybe even suburbia. So, I mean, living in the outskirts of a Phoenix or a Tucson might be more in vogue. It's really going to be interesting to watch these trends as they play out over the next 5 to 10 years.
Speaking with ASU economics professor Dr. Dennis Hoffman on the live line from Phoenix, would you say we're well positioned here in Arizona to handle what lays ahead with the recovery?
I really do. Bill, and this is, people have different opinions of corporate America throughout our country. I think by and large, maybe not every person in the state, but the vast majority of folks in the state of Arizona embrace business, welcoming to corporations. And I think as a result, we've seen a lot of business migration. We seem to have our act together in the economic development arena today, unlike 10 years ago. We're certainly embracing people coming here and doing business and interacting with folks across our southern border as well in terms of a business relationships much more so, I think, than we did 10 years ago. So we're definitely open for business. We embrace business. And, a lot of it seems to be moving our way. And, before we know it, Bill, that Pinal County there in between us, that's really surging. We've got, got major manufacturers going in. We've got a gasoline manufacturer going in about 2025. It's really developing down there, and they're embracing clean technologies. The gasoline manufacturer does burn fossil fuel in the form of natural gas, but it is infinitely cleaner than conventional gasoline. So lots of interesting things underway.
Professor Dennis Hoffman from ASU, it's always a pleasure. That urban corridor that was talked about from Tucson to Phoenix, it's here, folks. It's filling in very quickly. Always a pleasure, Professor Hoffman. Stay well. Thank you, sir.
Bill, and same to you. Thanks for the invitation.
Thank you. Going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of engineer producer John Couch, my buddy, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon.